in the state of Georgia versus Jose Antonio Ibarra, case SU24CR0323, count one, malice murder. I find the defendant guilty. Count two, felony murder. I find the defendant guilty. Count three, felony murder. I find the defendant guilty. Count four, felony murder. I find the defendant guilty. Count five, kidnapping with bodily injury. I find the defendant guilty. Count six, aggravated assault with intent to rape. I find the defendant guilty. Count seven, aggravated battery. I find the defendant guilty. Count eight, obstructing or hindering a 911 call. I find the defendant guilty. Count nine, tampering with evidence. I find the defendant guilty. Count 10, Peeping Tom. I find the defendant guilty.
That was an interesting, but Peeping Tom one. But this, I mean, he got every, this Jose Ibarra guy in the Lake and Riley trial got every single count against him. And remember, he forewent a jury trial. And this was the judge who also announced that he is going to, he was ready to hand out sentencing right there. He was ready to hand out sentencing. And I think they're taking a quick break, and then they're coming back for that aspect of this. This is just a horrible story, but it's ending, you know, somewhat, I guess, with some justice, because you're actually having now this, you know, a judge actually, you know, you're getting some justice here. So there is that aspect of it. We got a lot to discuss, to go over today, because there's also that case of the, I remember this when I was a lot younger, that Susan Yates case, or is it Susan or Paula Yates, whatever her name, there were a group of women like somewhere like in the late 90s. They all looked alike and they all kind of had similar names, and they all, they killed their kids and they went away to prison. And one of them's, she might get probation, or she might get released today rather. So they're trying to, I think she's before the board on that. But this was the Lake and Riley case, which was a case that propelled the issue of illegal immigration just to the forefront in the national discussion. And really, I mean, it played a huge part in the presidential election as well. So that was the judge finding guilty Jose Ibarra on all counts in the death of Lake and Riley. And she was that student in Georgia. And this guy, I mean, he stalked her. He like hunted her down and just killed her. And the video or the audio footage when radios, when police were there and they came up on her, just horrific. And the family, the mom left the courtroom, the dad and the stepdad stayed in there. It was difficult, very difficult for them. So welcome to the program, Dana Lash, with you. And we are at the top of this first hour, and we've got presidential picks, the cabinet. We got a lot because there were a few announcements that were made last night, and they include Linda McMahon as well. Linda McMahon, as you know, WWE, she's going to head up Department of Education. And so I hope that this means that she's going to body slam it off the, she's going to hit at it off the top rope and just destroy, just take it down, dismantle the Department of Education, because it's failed our kids. It has failed our kids. This is something that needs to be done through the states. And I don't know why the left freaks out about not having a federal agency. You have more of a chance to have greater impact in your state and locality than you do at the federal level. And if it's not an Article 1, Section 8, it's something that should be respective to the states. And there are a lot of people who don't understand this. They, I don't know what it is, but they don't want their state to be responsible for education. Maybe if you are worried that your state isn't responsible enough and that you have to have it at the federal level because your state's irresponsible, then maybe do a better job of electing better people to represent you in government in your state. The voter's not off the hook on this. So welcome to the program. So Linda McMahon, I think that was a good out of the box pick. And that was on the letterhead. Remember, I was telling you the other day, Lorraine's theory that if it's on the letterhead, he's confident that it's going to sail through. But there's others that he hasn't put on the letterhead. But Linda McMahon announced yesterday. And then, of course, Lutnick was official. That was letterhead. That's going to go through. That's going to go through super easy. But this is, it's getting all filled out. It's getting everything. Everything is getting fleshed out. The cabinet is coming together. And then, of course, we had the big, big really story yesterday with the judges, and we were talking about some of that as well. This is why you need to sign up over at Chapter and Verse, because I got a lot of good stuff over there that comes out regularly. There were a couple of things that went out yesterday, a couple of different stories, and we're going to talk about all of that. But I think Linda McMahon's a good pick. I mean, she understands business, right? She gets business. She understands all of this. She's a smart, educated woman. She's no nonsense. She seems like a ball buster, right, Kane? I think she's kind of a bit of that, which is good. I think you need that. She's somebody that I want there to take it apart, because I think it really does need to be dismantled at this point. I mean, it's just, there's no one can share with you a single success from the Department of Education. It's disastrous. And so this might be, I mean, we'll see. We just know who's going to be heading up what. I mean, you can't have it without, I understand the argument that you have to install someone as the head of the agency, even if you're going to dismantle it. I understand that, but I hope it is dismantled. I really hope it is. So that was a big pick yesterday. They came in yesterday evening. And of course, you got Howard Lutnick is also, he gets campaign letterhead. Mehmet Oz, this was a pick that I don't understand this one. So he's going to be handling Medicaid and Medicare. I don't know what, he's going to be serving the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS administrator. That sounds like a bunch of paperwork, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I had to look it up. I'm like, what do they do? They said that his point is he's supposed to, I mean, in the statement, he's going to eliminate waste and fraud within the most expensive government agency. And this is from Trump's announcement, which is a third of our nation's healthcare spend and a quarter of our entire national budget. And he gives, you know, he talks about he went to Wharton Business and he got his MD and MBA at the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. And so he's got the business acumen. Now, I will say this, and I was kind of going back and forth on this stuff, because policy-wise, I don't want Mehmet Oz anywhere near crafting medical policy. I don't. I'm not going to lie to you, and I'm not going to apologize for being consistent. This is a guy who's regularly promoted trans ideology. Now, I'm not saying that this disqualifies him for this position, because it does sound like busy work. It sounds like you're eliminating waste and fraud. You're just cutting stuff, right? You're cutting stuff. That's what it sounds like to me. But he has, in the past, and there's audio of it, I mean, he's promoted trans ideology in the past. And I think we have this audio. What audio soundbite is this? This is audio soundbite 8. Just listen to a short bit of it.
Let's meet a family living with that very question every day. Vanessa is here with her daughter, Josie. Welcome to the show. Vanessa, your husband, Joseph, is in the military. He's not able to join us today.
Correct.
You know, early on, you probably had a sense that Josie was different. And when did you recognize that Josie was transgender?
It was during a regular well baby exam. The pediatrician was looking at her. He got really quiet and just sort of watched her for a while. And he brought up a term, gender identity disorder. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, what's that? He said, you know, like transgender. I was like, could you spell that for me? I had no idea what he was saying.
That's when you learned about it.
That is.
How are you, Josie?
Good.
Seriously. She has a lot of spark to her, I gotta say.
She does indeed.
This is like one example. He's promoted this a lot on his program. So, and on one respect, I don't want him being anywhere near crafting health policy. Because this has been a big problem that we've been dealing with in our country is this, you know, radical trans ideology. So that's one part. But it looks like this is going to be just him cutting bureaucracy. And don't put it in Slack. Say it. What are you going to say?
He's going to be the bureaucracy barber.
Okay.
He's just there to cut.
All right. I'm all right with that. Now, if he just does that, I'm okay with it. But if his trans ideological support then starts influencing what he's cutting. For instance, money that has been allocated, taxpayer dollars, for trans stuff in Medicare and Medicaid, and he doesn't cut that, then I'm going to have a problem. And so this pick, as long as we can be guaranteed of that, and he goes after fraud and abuse and all that, I'm not against it. I mean, put the charcuterie guy up there. I don't care. Get it. Get her done. There you go. As long as he's not making policy. I'm okay with siloing people to a particular skill set, so long as the other things that are deficiencies that I consider policy deficiencies of their person don't come into play, right? Like, I don't want RFK Jr. anywhere near climate or energy. I don't want that man nowhere near energy. If he's going to talk about, you know, like food and stuff, yeah, okay. I tell you what, I'm going to, if you look at, and I'm not saying anything other than he looks healthy, but if you look at him and then you look at that deputy HHS dude, you know what I'm talking about. That guy don't look healthy. I mean, I generally am going to listen to healthy looking people as opposed to not. So we'll put it at that. So that's one thing. So this is, let's see. So we've got Mehmet Oz. They're fleshing it out. They're getting it all, everything's set. And then in the meantime, POTUS was in Texas at Starbase watching the literal launch of the literal most powerful rocket that's ever been flung into the atmosphere. And that was pretty amazing to watch that. They were all there. You know who else was there? Our buddy at the FCC, Brendan Carr, yeah, who we are, can I dare say again, very excited that he is the head of the FCC commission once again. Kansas, does this give him extra votes? Like, if you're a commissioner, do you get like a bonus, like plus one vote? I feel like it should, right? Like, for all of your hard work herding those cats, I feel like you should get a little extra bump on that. So these are all good things, all good things. And in the meantime, we've got the big judge thing, which we're going to discuss, because that, I got to tell you, we did not have a bright spot yesterday with GOP stuff. Oh, I'll get to all the liberal stuff. I mean, sometimes people get upset if I criticize the right. And then I want to respond to those people. You literally must not know me at all, because I've been doing this since 2008 on air, even before then. And I will call balls and strikes. And that's just the way it is. I like consistency because I think that's how you get a better republic. I agree with the founders on that. If people don't agree with the founding fathers in me, then that's on them, not me. So we're going to get into the whole judge thing and how we had five senators who didn't show up to vote, including the Secretary of State nominee and the vice president-elect, who did not show up to vote. And as a result, Trump missed an opportunity to appoint a judge, lifetime appointment to the 11th Circuit Court. But I told you that first yesterday, but then the vice president responded and then deleted a tweet. And then it went from there. Black Rifle Coffee is just the best coffee that is out there. And it's so good. And right now, the Freedom Roast, if the founders were alive today, they would drink the Freedom Roast from Black Rifle Coffee, America's Coffee. It's a smooth, medium roast that offers sweet, tasty notes of milk and milk chocolate and vanilla, complemented by a hint of cinnamon with a buttery finish. Every sip is a celebration of liberty and a tribute to those who fought for our nation. I feel like Matt Best wrote the first part of this. But it's true. It is so good. It's such a smooth roast and it's full of flavor. And you can save 20% using code Dana. It's available in ground, whole bean, 12 count rounds. And subscribe to Black Rifle's Coffee Club so you can get free shipping and automated orders right to your doorstep. You get the convenience of always having your favorite brew on hand without the need for last minute trips. And it serves, Black Rifle Coffee is all about serving premium coffee to people who love America. So again, you got whole bean K-cups ready to drink. Don't forget about the Black Rifle Coffee Club. Check out the kettles, grinders, mugs, and more apparel. Everything you need and then some. So get your freedom on with the Freedom Roast from BlackRifleCoffee.com. Taste other top shelf roasts like Just Black and Silence or Smooth. But whatever you decide, you're going to get 20% off using code Dana anyway. So 20% off code Dana only at BlackRifleCoffee.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
You know what? Just sidebar, because we played just the intro to Wild Boys coming in with Duran Duran. I loved that song when I was a kid, and I wanted to be a wild boy. And I'm so glad that, you know, the trans ideology hadn't infected my mother, and she had more than one brain cell to rub together, and she didn't go, guess you're a boy, and do all that. So I felt like sharing that. New York City has expanded the use of drones to respond to crimes and other emergencies. I have no idea how this is going to actually do anything. other than get footage of crimes that are not going to be prosecuted because they have Soros DAs. I mean, really, it's just an exercise in stupidity at this point. So what's the purpose of it? They said five police station houses are going to get two drones as part of a new program. So what, you're going to fly it around and just go, stop that, stop that? What's the point? They said, we're flying into the future and keeping New York safe. No, you're not. You're just like, you got little surveillance devices that are guaranteed to be shot out of the sky. Just saying, you know. Escaped primates opened a can of worms for South Carolina's Alpha Genesis Research Lab. Pretty sure a movie started like this. They said four primates are still on the loose after 43 of them escaped from the Alpha Genesis Research Laboratory in South Carolina. This is kind of sad. I don't think they should be testing on them. You can disagree with me. I think you should use people who are on death row and test on them. I'm all for that, but not these dudes. Not little cutie little animals, unless they're jerks. Animal rights groups, like dolphins, animal rights groups have cited the company's history of violations and previous monkey breakouts. Great punk band name or album. A member of Congress called for an inquiry into oversight, but they said that they're trying to find out whether or not it was an intentional act by an employee. It seems like it would be, but I don't care because, you know, I just don't like testing on. I'm not a big animal tester supporter. Again, use people who've chosen to do horrible things and are incarcerated for life for murder and rape and all that. Use those people. A drought warning declared in New York City for the first time in two decades. That's kind of wild. They're actually told to, like, watch their use of water. That's wild. Google's AI chatbot Gemini told a user to please die. You're a waste of time and resources. Please tell me that user promptly unplugged their computer to shut up the AI. Just saying. Stick with us. We got a lot in store as we move. Our friends over at Patriot Mobile. It's the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And Patriot Mobile wants to save you money. And they also want to make sure that you have great cell phone coverage, great mobile coverage. Because that's the thing. In order to support your beliefs, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to have subpar service. You don't have to have anything that's subpar. You can still support your beliefs and get great service and have access to all the major providers. And that's what Patriot Mobile provides. And with Patriot Mobile, you're working with a 100% US-based customer service team as well. So you get exceptional nationwide coverage on all three major networks. And then you can take advantage of their Every Friday Matters special. So for a limited time, Patriot Mobile is giving away a brand new smartphone when you switch your service. And it's a great opportunity to get that high quality service while supporting a company that aligns with your values. And you can visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT. Use promo code Friday to take advantage of that offer. Seamless switching. And it's super easy. You're not going to have any interruption and nothing. It's never been simpler to switch. So that's a free smartphone, a limited time offer, eligible only using promo code Friday. So again, limited time or until supplies run out. Terms and conditions apply. So join me. I made the switch over a decade ago. You can do it today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of the Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Deborah Gonzalez, the George Soros-owned DA in this case with Jose Ibarra, the rapist murderer, killer murderer, who Tren de Aragua member who murdered Lake and Riley. Back in June, this DA, Deborah Gonzalez, says that she is not going to recommend the death penalty for Ibarra. She said this back in June. They already took it off the table. Because I've had a couple of folks, you know, good folks out there who understand good justice. And they were asked, oh, I guess he gets a death. She doesn't. No, she did lose her reelection bid. So I don't know what that means. I guess that's already set, though. But she already took it off the table. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're at the bottom of this first hour. And you can find us at Substack, Chapter and Verse, also on Rumble, where the discussion happens. Channel 3, 47, DirecTV, X, all of that. He was found guilty, Jose Ibarra, on all 10 counts of murdering this nursing student. And Deborah Gonzalez refused the death penalty. It literally said in what she put out in June, quote, this office will no longer seek the death penalty. Cases which are legally eligible for the death penalty are eligible for sentences of life without parole and life with parole eligibility after serving 30 years. Now, there's also the, the issue of, you know, he could have, death penalty could have been on the table and he could have entered a plea deal where it was life without parole and it still could have been up at this. But the point is that she, I mean, literally took it off the table because of a Soros-backed DA. I mean, she's the Athens district attorney. She said that she'll, quote, take into account collateral consequences to undocumented defendants, was her direct quote. So he's going to be in jail for however long his life lasts. I'm not saying that I would donate generously to the commissary account of anyone who, you know, happened to find him expired. But it should go without saying. You know, I hope he gets some sweet prison justice. I honestly see in my world, like when, you know, bad guys take care of their own. And because nobody likes rapists of young women like this in prison. These guys don't like that. They do not like this stuff. And I know people like to, you know, there's a universal thought about inmates. And I kind of take a scriptural approach to, you know, the confined people who've, you know, have done crimes and they're doing their time. But there's a dislike of people who prey upon kids and do stuff like this. I don't know. Maybe I've been watching too much Mayor of Kingstown. But I'm just saying, that's a damn good show, by the way. So this guy, I don't know. I feel like these types of cases, I know we don't have like a ministry of, we have a Department of Justice, but I feel like we should have like a ministry of penalty or something like that, where instead of cruel and unusual, it's cool and usual. Right. We're just, you know, mainstreaming. I'm not, you know, because... Me, okay, so no death penalty. So then I can torture the guy till the point of death and then bring him back. Because, see, we're not about cruel and unusual. We're about cool and usual. You know, we care about, you know, bring him back so he can do it again. I'm just saying. But this case, it's amazing how the government, how the people who said they're going to protect you. Taxation without representation is exactly what this case is. Because you had the Riley family. Think about it. They're participants in this republic. We have different levels of government. The federal government is supposed to protect our borders. We are supposed to enact border sovereignty. And this murderer, he was in federal custody because he crossed the border illegally once already. And then he was released. And then we paid for him to fly to Georgia. We paid for his life here. We flew him to Georgia. Not only did the government fail this family, but they facilitated the murder of Lakin Riley because they flew this guy to Georgia. He had already broken a law by entering illegally and violating our sovereignty. And then he was released in a sanctuary city. ICE was not notified. Because it is more important for progressives to pretend like they're virtuous than actually be virtuous. They didn't want to hurt this Trinidad-Aragua member's feelings. I mean, for them, Lakin Riley being murdered, and this might seem like an extreme statement, but it's true, and it doesn't make it any less extreme. It's just true. I feel that the cost of Lakin Riley's life was worth it to them in order to not hurt this violent murderer's feelings. The government was complicit in every step of the way. Every step of the way. It makes me sick. I mean, if we had had... He entered illegally in September 2022. That's when Democrats controlled the White House, the Senate, and the House. They would not even entertain a border deal until like 2 years later. And even then, they fought it. The entire way. And how dare you? You're supposed to say undocumented. You're supposed to say things like undocumented. You're not supposed to say, you know, illegal immigrant or illegal alien. But it is. You, all of this, what is the point of laws if they're going to be situationally enforced? What is the point of paying the taxes if you're not getting the return on the investment of your tax dollar? I am not getting the return on the investment of the gobs of money that I am being forced under penalty of jail, that I'm being extorted by the sanctioned mafia that is our government to pay into the IRS. Where's the return on my investment? I don't get a secure border. I don't have energy independence. I don't get any of that stuff. Instead, what I get is a bunch of morons lecturing me about pronouns and telling me when I pay three times as much as they could imagine to pay my fair share when I own their lives because I pay for them. You do too. It enrages me. We've literally gone to war for less. I don't say that jokingly. So this is just at every level. This is horrific. We're talking on break about Gen X stuff because I did a podcast, taped a podcast discussion earlier this week about Gen X, and I saw this conversation this morning. It was like some Gen Zer who was like very young did not really believe that people would literally play outside all day and would not come home until they saw the porch light turn on. Yeah. Well, no, if you were within the line of sight. So we had a neighbor who would go out and yell for their kids every night. And whenever we heard the dad go out and yell, like, and it would rumble through the trees and bounce off rooftops and somehow find wherever we were playing. And we knew it was all time to go home. Then he was literally like the neighborhood alarm. And we knew it was time to go home. And then when my mom would turn the porch light or the deck light on, that's when I knew it was time to go back. Right. And I loved that this Gen Z could not imagine it. And this person was like, Gen Zer. It's like, really? Were you guys exaggerating it? I kid you not. That is literally how it happened. I feel like my grandparents did apparently back in the day. And I'm like, you had to walk uphill both ways? What? How does it even work? But we did. That's what it was like. It was completely like that. We did all these things. And what's more, we had fun. We weren't constantly on our devices or in any of this stuff. It was just, you know, we just had a lot of fun with it. And I was telling Kane too, because I had a lot of run-ins with nature, and I like to think of myself as being a more of a Snow White figure, right? Where I go out, like if a dog likes me and I'm petting the dog, then I get in my head, I'm Snow White and birds are going to come and sit on my hands and little mice are going to come and tie ribbons in my hair or whatever. Could happen. But instead, it doesn't really quite go like that. So I made a passing mention to dolphins or something. And one of our listeners was going, okay, we heard the monkey story because I got into a fight with a chimpanzee. Yes, it was actually one that was related to the chimp crazy doc people. And they go, but what did a dolphin do to you? That you said they're jerks. Okay, so long story short, when we were on our honeymoon and we were in the Bahamas, just shut up. I was expecting, and I was told to not, like, you couldn't, like, get into the water with dolphins, or if there were dolphins in the area, they were telling me, like, the locals there were like, no, you can't get in the water, you're expecting, and, because we wanted to swim with dolphins, and they were like, no, you can't do that. I'm like, why isn't that? Because I'm thinking, they're dolphins, right? Like, what's that one little dolphin that was real happy?
Flipper?
Flipper, yeah, I need to help people, right? He was like the Lassie of the sea, was he not?
Yes.
Yeah, he was like, you know, Timmy's in a blue hole or something. I don't know. Anyway, but I don't know. I had this, like, I guess, very naive view of wildlife because they were real. That's what they sound like, Kane. Did you know that? That's the dolphins?
Almost identical.
I could go out in nature and you wouldn't know the difference. So anyway, I was kind of sad. I was like, well, you know, I wanted to swim with the dolphins. And one very nice gentleman, who's an older gentleman, looked at me. He was like, ma'am, he's like, they will literally bump you. They will actually kind of attack pregnant women, and they will bump them and try to cause them to, like, no. Yes, for real.
What the heck is that about?
And in my mind, I'm like, I have fought goats, parrots, ferrets, and monkeys. I think I can probably take a dolphin, but I didn't do it. So from then on out, I've cast a wary eye towards the dolphin kingdom because they seem like jerks. What a jerk animal, right? Like, you're supposed to help women and stuff, right? Like, it is a whale. I watched a video of a whale give a woman her phone back.
Right.
And then, I mean, just the timing is amazing. I remember when we got back, there was a documentary on dolphins, and it was the dark side of dolphins. I'm like, what? dark side of dolphins. What's that? And it was how mean they are. They are so mean. They're like some of the they can be very mean. They can be very helpful, but they're, you know, pretty mean. I didn't know that. Did you know that? Did you know like koalas were jerks too?
Yeah, I found that out like only a year ago.
Really?
Yeah. Saw a video and I'm like,
holy. Some of the cutest animals are the meanest things in nature.
It's like, holy koala.
It's like God's like, oh, let's see how this works out. We're going to make it real cute and humans are going to want to cuddle it and pet it. And then we're going to make it a total jack wagon. I don't know. So I told Kane, I'm like, I feel like I want to do a nature show, but yeah. Not like Jack Hanna, where I'm educating you about the animals. I just want to like expose how they're jerks.
Right.
Like Brian Fellows from SNL, but like with the jerk side of the animals. Anyway, so that's kind of that story. I'm not going to talk about the ferret because that's a whole other segment.
Yeah. You got a lot of stories about.
Yeah. Or goats. And
conflicts with nature.
Parrot or a macaw is kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, we'll say it is.
Sure.
I mean, I know those distinctions are important to some, but they're not really to me. It's a colorful bird that, you know, sold cereal back in the day. I'm all right with it.
Toucan?
Yeah, Fruit Loops.
Okay.
Well, that's a colorful. They're all parrots to me. Oh, it's a parrot. It's just like how soda's all Cokes in some parts of the United States.
Parakeets.
All birds
are
parrots.
Smaller parrots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Parakeet.
Yeah, that's all parrot. That's a parrot also. Yeah, they're all parrots. So we've got a lot still on the way that we're getting into, including some crazy stuff that you need to be aware of as it relates to the economy. Later on in the program, my friend Carol Roth is going to join us because this is something I actually didn't know. Corporate Transparency Act beneficial ownership information. Did you know that there is a reporting requirement and the laws have changed on it that actually can get you into some serious big trouble if you're unaware of it? It's something that the Trump admin needs to change immediately. And we're going to talk to Carol Roth about that coming up. As we move, because we got a lot still to hit, and Days of These United States, our partners over at Caltech, the P15, which stands for 15 pews. Literally, that's the name. And with Caltech, it is this is such a great, great, great striker fire pistol. You have two versions right off the bat. So you got your metal version, which has this like really pretty like walnut wood, you know, panel on it. Then the grip, it's just really nice, classy James Bond kind of gun. And then you got what I call strictly business. You got your polymer gator grip texture. You got all of that with your the polymer version. And they're just great. They send with two standard capacity magazines. One's a 15 round with minimal pinky extension. The other holds 12 rounds. It's flush fit double stack mag. So if you want more just a little more concealability, you got that with this. Tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear. Like I said, striker fire reliability, sweet trigger pull, 1.27 inches wide approximately with a 4-inch barrel, lifetime warranty. This is compact and ideal for concealed carry self-defense. And it's from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. It's game-changing innovation and performance with Kel-Tec's P15, the ultimate concealed carry 9mm, lightest, thinnest on the market. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KELTEC weapons.com. It's the P15. Tell them Dana sent you.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
And at Jaguar, we're passionate about our people, and we're committed to fostering a diverse, inclusive, and unified culture that is representative not only of the people who use our products, but in a society in which we all live, a culture where our employees can bring their authentic selves to work. And we're on a transformative journey of our own, driven by a belief in diversity, inclusion, creativity, policy, and most importantly, action.
But not cars.
We've established over 15 DEI groups, such as Pride, who are here tonight. In the back.
With my sequins jacket and my mesh shirt.
Thank you guys. Jeez. For coming. Women in engineering.
That's heinous. I want to arrest him for his horrible fashion. I'm sorry, but I don't care if you're gay or not. You should not, if you're a man, if you have a male copulatory organ, you should not ever wear sequins. That's just off. That's off hands for you. Women can't urinate standing up. You don't get to wear sequins. That's just the way it works, guys. Those are the rules. I didn't make them. Somebody else did. I'm just relating them to you. Welcome back. That was who is that with Jaguar? Who is that with them?
His head of brand strategy.
Oh, that makes all the sense in the world then. Yeah. Their stupid little commercial where you have like basically a bunch of crayons, some of them trans. Like it's like the green color pretending to be pink or something, walking out. And it was had nothing to do with cars. And everyone's like, what is this? No, that makes sense. Like guys like that are ruining companies. Yeah. Stop it. Who makes the decision to hire this guy? Fire the guy who hired him, fire the person who allowed it to happen, and fire that guy.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Golly. That just horrible. It's just, oh man, Juan, what are you doing to us? Juan's getting this video ready. He's gonna kill us with it again. How does this sell Jaguars? It doesn't. Who's that guy? He used this flat iron with that heat protectant way too much. All right, we got a second hour coming up. Stick with us. We got the judicial, a judge confirmed because Republicans didn't show up, all kinds of stuff. Stick with us. If your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them, you know, feel better for a few hours or only have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again, it's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is that Relief Factor makes that easy. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. It's a unique formula of ingredients that helps support your body's response to inflammation. And Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free, and for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. Chris, my husband, raves about Relief Factor. So whether you're a cyclist, a hiker, you know, an athlete from your college days or high school, maybe you're just active now, Relief Factor supports inflammation reduction and joint health. Try it today. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. See in how just a few weeks or even days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. And then you feel better, and then life is just better. So don't mask pain. Fight it naturally with Relief Factor. Welcome back to the program. Your lovable retired goth curmudgeon here with you at the top of the second hour. And it's already like we're already in the middle of the week. It's Wednesday. We're like barreling towards Thanksgiving, light speed. You can find us also channel 347 unless you're watching us there. Listen terrestrially, obviously. The chat's on Rumble. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack. So a few things. They have the family and family statements ahead of the sentencing in the murder trial of Jose Ibarra, who was convicted, found guilty on all 10 counts of murdering Lake and Riley, this illegal immigrant member of Trinidad, who brutally murdered this nursing student in Georgia, hunted her down and killed her. She was, you know, just grabbed her at the park. And this case, the sentencing is expected. I mean, it's all pretty quick because he forewent a jury trial. And so it was just the judge's decision. And then I made mention of this last hour. Do you remember the case of the Susan Smith? This was like 30 years ago. I was really young when this happened, but I remember this case. I think I was a teenager when this happened. She was a South Carolina woman, and she strapped her kids. I think it was like a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old and a 14-month-old. Strapped her kids into her car and then let it roll into a lake near where she lived, and her kids drowned. Then she lied to the authorities and said it was a black man that stole her car and took her kids. And so she lied to them. And so for days she was like on television pleading for them to this imaginary suspect to bring the kids home. And then police finally confronted her because some of her story wasn't adding up. And then in that case, and she finally admitted to killing them. So she was sentenced. Well, she came up for parole for the first time today and was denied. And I think it's good that she was denied because she's crazy trifling. I can't say it on air. The whole reason she killed her kids is because she was having an affair on her husband. And the guy with whom she was having an affair told her that he couldn't continue because of her kids. So she kills her kids. And she's been, I read an article not long ago where they were noting that she's been entertaining like men writing letters to her. And they said that she hasn't really changed, that she was telling one man, yeah, when I get out, we can, you know, talking about the money that she could get from, you know, selling her story or doing this or that. And she has it in her mind that she's going to become this millionaire because people will be fascinated by her grossness. And then her and, you know, these one of these men writing letters to her while she's in jail, then they can go and, you know, live a carefree life. So she was denied parole. And she apparently, even her ex-husband, the father of the kids, was like, no, do not let this, she's a monster. Do not let her out. She apparently has never demonstrated remorse, like actual remorse, none of it. And the husband has moved on, but he still really is grappling with losing his two sons. And he has a new wife, and the new wife was telling the court that some days, you know, it still, it hits him, you know, that he doesn't have his two sons here. And nobody wants this woman to get out. So she's still, she's in jail. She's still in jail where she needs to be. I don't even know, honestly, I don't even know why she's still alive. I have a very hard, absolutely no, in no frills response to this sort of heinousness. I don't know why, like this Jose Ibarra, this DA in Georgia, already took the death penalty off the table. So taxpayers already that paid and facilitated for the murder of Lincoln Riley by flying this violent gang member from New York to Athens, Athens, Georgia, they're going to be paying for him for the rest of his life now. I mean, this chick, this Susan Smith chick, she killed her two sons, and now she's taxpayers have to pay to keep her. And she knew exactly what she was doing. She lied about, oh, I was going to commit suicide and stay in there with him, but I got out at the last minute. No, you didn't. You killed him because you wanted to go on. She's like a Casey Anthony, except Casey Anthony didn't get caught. I mean, convicted, I should say. Well, she kind of did. But this is wild. Spent some time. Was released. This is crazy. But I just don't know. Our society indulges this stuff because, I don't know, we think that we lock people up and that can reform them like this. I think certain people cannot be reformed. And it's not for a lack of belief in grace. I think God can forgive them, but society's different. And forgiveness, it doesn't mean absence of penalty either, by the way. You know, it doesn't mean, and I'm not saying that comes into this chick's case at all. I just don't know how the husband would ever be able to forgive something like that. But grace doesn't mean that there isn't room for actual accountability. I don't know why she should have been put to death. I think when you're killing kids, it's a death. That's a capital punishment offense. This Jose Ibarra, he's going to be living his life in prison unless some prisoners decide to do a good deed and take him off the taxpayer dole. It's true. Well, it's absolutely true. This is that. That's justice. It's not justice. Speaking of justice, this is one of the reasons why it's incredibly important to make sure that you're putting up good people onto the court. And that didn't happen because we, with the 11th Circuit, we have four other appellate justices that are awaiting. That are awaiting confirmation. But the 11th Circuit, Trump missed the opportunity. I talked a little bit about this yesterday. I sent a piece out for Chapter and Verse, my Substack. It was a vote of 49-45, and the Senate confirmed Embry Kidd. Now, you want to know about Embry Kidd? Let me tell you about Embry Kidd. This is a guy who argued that child rape statutes, quote, child rape statutes, though not laden with the exact same racial baggage as more general rape statutes, are still racialized. He was saying that child rape was being racialized. He gave incredibly lenient sentences to child predators. And when his sentences were reversed, he hid this from the Senate Judiciary Committee as they were considering his confirmation. He hid this. Now, I know that it is a panel of judges, and he is but one member of a panel that's headed up by Clarence Thomas. However, he now is elevated to this position on this court so he can influence everything from gun rights to men and women sports to immigration issues, all of it. And it is a lifetime appointment, and it covers Alabama and Florida and Georgia. And five senators, including the incoming vice president-elect and the nominated secretary of state, did not show up. There's zero excuse. Trump was livid. He posted on his platform, quote, Democrats are trying to stack the courts with radical left judges on their way out the door. Republican senators need to show up and hold the line. No more judges confirmed before Inauguration Day. And he is absolutely right. There's nothing wrong with what Trump said. However, Vance, he made a mistake. And this is where there's good things about Vance, but this is one of the bad things about Vance. He can be very undisciplined, too. He blasted critics for a very different reason and then ended up deleting his tweet. He went after one conservative activist who works in works with some podcast and said that she was a, quote, mouth-breathing imbecile who attacks those of us in the fight rather than make herself useful, because this woman had criticized him not showing up. He goes, if I had shown up to the vote in question, the nominee would have succeeded 49-46 rather than 49-45. If every Republican had showed up, Fetterman would have come in and the Democrats would have gotten their nominee across. He goes, when this 11th Circuit vote happened, I was meeting with President Trump to interview multiple positions for our government, including FBI director. I tend to think it's more important to get an FBI director who will dismantle the deep state than it is for Republicans to lose a vote 49-46 rather than 49-45. But that's just me. All right. No, that's no. First off, sitting at Trump's elbow as he is vetting prospective candidates for like commerce or FBI or whatever. No, it is not as important as casting a vote against an extreme leftist's lifetime appointment to a circuit court. Lifetime appointment. So these people, these cabinet picks are not taking office until next year. You can take a day. So number one, no, it is not more important to sit at Trump's elbow as he vets these candidates than it is to do your job as a senator. You can't just sit here and own the libs on Twitter. You've got to do it in the Senate with your vote. You've got to do it in real life. You can't just own the left on social media. You got to own them in real life by voting against their hardcore child pederasty apologists. You can take a day. The judiciary is super important. And as I said, you got four other federal appellate nominees awaiting confirmation. Second, it would have taken just one more Republican to overcome their tally. And by the way, Fetterman, his equation of which Republicans were coming in, he didn't know that. And he was out for a different reason. Also, the speculation was that he would have voted against this guy, too. It would have taken just one more Republican to overcome Democrats' tally. Here's the other thing. Why didn't they demand post-cloture debate? When you vote cloture to close debate, you have a debate period that I think it's like 30 hours or something after. Why? That's literally what Democrats did Trump's first term to slow down the confirmation process as much as possible. Why didn't Republicans choose to do that? So third, Vance's response is way too testy, wildly testy. Biden is trying to undermine Trump's judicial overhaul from 2016 with these remaining weeks. And there is zero excuse to not showing up. And this is the hard part of the job. You signed up for this. Your job in the Senate is not done. And it also doesn't look great that both Trump and Vance are saying different things. So as much credit as we give to Vance to being disciplined, sometimes he's not. And this is one of those times. They've got to get on the same page, and they got to get on the same page fast. Vance has got to relax. And he needs to realize that people who have zealously championed him from his political inception, but then mildly criticize justifiably a very important vote, they deserve patience. You have to pick your battles, and never more so than with your allies. And where the hell is John Thune? Our big Senate majority leader. Where is he at? I mean, this is a mess, an absolute mess, and there's no excuse for it. So this can't happen again. Republicans have got to get it together. Because like I said, you got four other nominees awaiting confirmation. It's very important. We have more to get into, including coming up, we're going to be talking to my friend Carol Roth over this insane overreaching requirement for small businesses. And apparently the deadline for that is upcoming, and Trump needs to do something about changing the regulation on it. And we're going to talk to her about that. She's going to walk us through it, because you got to know it, especially if you're a small business owner. Maybe you're aware of it, maybe you're not, but you need to be. As we move, our partners at it's new to the show, Byrnagun, B-Y-R-N-A, Byrnagun. It's a non-firearm firearm. And I always tell people, look, carry, and also I have no problem at all whatsoever using lethal force to defend myself or defend my loved ones. Zero issues at all. However, There are instances where I am not able to carry because of magical gun-free zone restrictions. I have friends who live and work in Manhattan and D.C., and they went out and got the Byrna gun, in fact, the Byrna SD, which is the most popular selling option. And if you're unfamiliar with the Byrna gun, what it does is it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can stop threats from up to 50 feet away. It's a powerful deterrent. And it doesn't, doesn't care about the gun-free zone signs. In fact, there's no waiting period, no background checks. It's legal in all 50 states. And it is great if you want to have a diversified arsenal for self-defense. And I really think that everybody needs to have stuff like that because, gun-free zone signs, sometimes you can't avoid going to those places. So learn more about the Byrna gun. They have different models. They have different accessories, projectiles, all of it. And you can get 10% off your purchase when you go through Byrna.com/Dana. That's BYRNA.com/Dana for 10% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is a really cool headline. The earliest, quote, Jesus is God inscription found in Israel is deemed the greatest discovery since the Dead Sea Scrolls. It's an inscription that was uncovered beneath the floor of an Israeli prison, and it's now on display in the United States. The 1,800-year-old mosaic was discovered by an inmate of the Megiddo prison that features the ancient Greek writing, quote, the God-loving Akeptus has offered the table to God Jesus Christ as a memorial. It's a 581-square-foot mosaic. And it decorated the world's first prayer hall in 230 AD. And really fascinating thing. Also, SpaceX president says we could easily see 400 Starship launches within the next 4 years. 4 years. The president of SpaceX, Gwynne Shotwell, aired some company insights at a financial summit and said she could easily see 400 of them blasting off within the next 4 years. The FDA is going to investigate forever chemicals found in seafood. I thought this was something they were already doing. They're trying to figure out how PFAS affect seafood, the environment, and processing water. Can I just venture a guess and suggest not well? The same. A report finds that America is catching and eating a little less fish. The volume and value of America's commercial fishing industry has fallen, according to newly released federal figures, though members of the industry say that the decline was to be expected following a recent spike in supply. They said that the catch at U.S. ports in the 50 states fell 2.6% to 8.4 billion pounds in 2022. The same catch, it was about, it's like almost 6 billion at the docks in 2022, but they've seen a drop of as much as 11%. So wild. We need to eat more fish because fish is healthy for you. A man camping in the Amazon rainforest wakes up to find literally 10 million ants tearing his tent apart because he's fighting with nature. Nature is done with you. I guess they thought it was a giant leaf. They were a bunch of leaf cutter ants and they were ripping apart his tent. Conservationist Paul Rosalie was resting in the largest rainforest in the world when these little insects woke him up at 2 in the morning. He was trying to sleep, but they were tearing through the fabric, trying to dismantle everything, carry him away like he was a Gulliver. You know? let's see. A NASA lander may have actually killed life on Mars, a scientist claims, and colleagues took his theory surprisingly well. They said 6 years after Apollo 11 touched on the moon, two other landing crafts, Viking 1 and 2, were sent to the red planet's surface. They were trying to see whether or not the soil could actually produce something living. And one astrobiologist says that the craft may have killed potential life by putting water on it. He says the salts with the ability to absorb moisture from the Martian atmosphere might normally provide all the necessary water to microbes there, but they might have been too sensitive to handle the direct addition of more liquid. We got more to come. Carol Roth joins us next on something you need to know about, especially if you're small biz. Stick with us.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've never wanted to learn to play bass more in my life than when I hear this song from the OJs. And I'm like, my gosh, why did I never learn this? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. That's exactly what we're going to talk about is cash money, or rather, the big rule that's coming out about how you make your money. Now, I just got to tell you, I read this thread and we're going to bring on the amazing Carol Roth here in a second. Let me just set this up. I read her thread at night, right? I'm getting ready to go to bed. Like, this is the last time I felt like I was reading a horror story. She was like, there's a rule change, or there's a rule that was changed, and this deadline's coming. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the government is so big. Am I in trouble? Are we the baddies? I don't even know anymore. That's how big government is and how stupid all these rules are. So she's warning everybody about this rule. I know what I know and I know what I don't know. So that's why Carol Roth is joining us, because I read this and I thought, CTA boy, is that like skater boy? Like Avril Lavigne? She's dying right now. Let's just get to it. She's probably like, Dana, God love you, you sweet summer child. Our amazing friend Carol Roth, who's like one of the smartest people out there. She knows math. She knows money. She knows business. She's a recovering investment banker. And you can check out her newsletter at carolroth.com/news. And her book, You Will Own Nothing, is a terrifying story and you need to read it. So Carol, I so appreciate you letting us know all of this, because I had no idea about this, no idea even what it meant. I was like combing through your thread, and then I'm like telling my husband, who's already half asleep, did you know this? Are we going to get in trouble? Like, what's happening? So tell everybody, this is a big bad rule. The deadline's coming just in January.
Yes, but I love the fact that you've made me out to be Freddy Krueger that's going to come to you and create nightmares in your dreams, as I always do here on the show. But yes, we are about 6 weeks away from millions of small business owners potentially facing massive penalties that include penalties more than $500 a day and jail time. Jeez. For noncompliance with a rule that most small business owners don't even know exists. And if we do not get help from Congress, if we do not get the Trump administration to come out and say they are not going to enforce penalties for noncompliance, people are potentially going to be in deep doo-doo. So this is a rule that was basically enacted. It was, the authority was given by Congress to the Treasury, to their Financial Crimes Enforcement Division called FinCEN. And FinCEN said, we need to combat cartels and money launderers and terrorists. So here's our big idea for doing that. We're not going to use the courts. We're not going to use suspicious activity reports from the bank. We're going to get every business to register with us and register every owner and every major decision maker, whatever that means. And we are going to get their driver's license or passport, and we're going to get all this information about them. And that is the way that we are going to stop cartels. Because, you know, Dana, I'm sure the cartels and terrorists are going to be lining up to give their information to FinCEN. Now, the other thing that they did is that they said, oh, by the way, we're going to exempt all big businesses, and we're going to exempt financial services firms and so on and so forth. So basically, the target of this ends up being small businesses that have entities. So if you have an LLC, even if you're a single member, if you have an S-Corp or some other entity around your business, as well as there are certain other entities being caught up in this, like housing associations. So if you're on a housing association board, you may be caught up in this as well. And by January 1st, you need to go to FinCEN, to this BOI reporting, and give all of your information, which, by the way, is not only unconstitutional, but every time something changes, you get married, you change your address, you know, some small piece of information changes. If you don't update it again, you are subject to these absolutely egregious fines. Now, we know from FinCEN that as of their sort of recent tally, there's only been about 10% of the expected compliance so far. So we know that millions of small businesses are going to be caught up in this. I have been trying to get this killed pretty much all year. I testified in front of Congress in April about this. I've been working with groups like the NFIB and the S-Corp Association, who've been on the phone to everyone. We have delay bills in the Senate. We have delay bills in the House. We have overturn bills in the House and the Senate. We have 44 congressmen who sent a letter to FinCEN, but there has not been concrete action to vote on any of these things and stop it. And we have 6 weeks, and frankly less, because, you know, people are going to do this before the last 2 weeks because of the holidays. So we have about 3 or 4 weeks to make a big deal and get somebody to do something, or else, all this information potentially comes at risk. And, we're in a really bad position as small businesses.
And there's really, and we're talking to our good friend Carol Roth, who's warning us about this. You have to file if you're, if a small business, anything really, before this January deadline. it doesn't even matter if you decide to go like the sole proprietor route. I mean, you could still have to file with us, right?
Well, so sole proprietors, it depends if you have an entity. So if you're sole proprietor with a single member LLC, you have to file. If you don't have an entity, you do not have to file. So that's at least according to their rules. Who knows what they change up in the future, because you know they've been such great allies to small businesses. But right now, this is about entities that are filed with a Secretary of State. If you've gone to the Secretary of State for anything except for a DBA name, a DBA name does not mean that you have a new entity. So it has to have an entity that you filed with your Secretary of State or a similar type of state level organization. That's what triggers it. But it's just so ridiculous. And we already have a court case where this was found unconstitutional, a federal district court. And they narrowed the scope and they said, okay, well, only the people who are in this court case are exempted while it goes through the court system. And it's like, well, if we know that this is unconstitutional, why wouldn't it apply to everybody and not just the people who are the plaintiffs in that case? So 10 lawsuits, lots of activity. We just are on a clock, which would be the best thing that could happen is the Trump administration just comes out and says, you know, we stand with small business. We aren't going to enforce penalties, so you do not have to file and we'll take care of this later. That would give everybody some comfort. The other great thing is that we could get Congress to vote on one of these bills, because again, this is a bipartisan issue. You know, there are plenty of Democrats that are small business owners, and this is meaningful to them as well. And the fact that everyone says they care about the backbone of the economy until it's time to actually care about the backbone of the economy. And they're running around doing all kinds of nonsense. And this is critical. And we are on a real clock here.
Yeah, it would be great if they talked about this instead of some of the other stuff that they've been fighting about, like in the House or the Senate. That would be really nice. Talking to our friend Carol Roth, because, you know, you say they talking about these small businesses. That's a lot of small business. That's like the engine of the economy. And I can't even imagine the kind of wrench that is thrown into the economy when you break all these people off at the knees. That's a terrifying concept.
I can tell you, when I went to Congress in April, we put a call out for small business owners to go on the record and to give their own voice. And in a matter of a week and a half, I had almost 450 small business owners whose statements I took, and I had to shut it down because we had so many, and take them and verify all of them. And I submitted them to the record, for the record in Congress. And these were small business owners saying things like they were going to give up their entity, which if you give up your entity, you forego protection, that they were going to close their doors, or people who said that they weren't going to start businesses because of this kind of government overreach. And we don't want that. We want to be able to support entrepreneurs. We shouldn't be creating more barriers. And we all know since COVID, small business has borne just the brunt of every single decision that was made. They were the first to get closed down. They were closed down the deepest. They didn't get enough, you know, funding to compensate them for what was taken from them. We know that they've been impacted by inflation, by the labor market, and they don't have the scale of the big businesses to deal with these kinds of things. And now they're asking for, you know, this type of intrusion that is only targeting small businesses, plus updates every time something changes, is just absolutely insane and egregious and unconstitutional and tyrannical and, you know, any other adjective you could throw
out. Yeah, it's wild to me that, because as you pointed out, they think that this is going to be cracking down on financial criminality, like money laundering and all of that. I've watched Ozark. That's not how this works. And I've seen it from the first sun. I mean, you paint to money launder to do all of that. We know how this works. But cartels, and I think you pointed this out, I don't know if it was in an editorial or on X, I was trying to find your tweet, because you even said something like, if the cartels aren't big enough to be, if they're big enough to be exempted, then it doesn't matter. This law isn't applicable to them anyway, because they're all pretty big. I mean, think about, you know, some of the cartels out there. I think they go past that threshold of non-reporting.
Right. They have more than 20 employees, so they would be exempt from reporting anyway. But, you know, it just goes to the, you know, if you are a criminal, of course, you're not going to be the one that complies. The people who are going to comply are the ones who want to be law abiding. But of course, if they do it wrong or they don't do it and they didn't know, then they're the ones made out to be criminals. This is the Financial Crimes Enforcement Division of the Treasury. Small businesses are not financial criminals. They are the backbone of the economy. I mean, can I be crass for a second, Dana?
Please.
Because, you know, only you would appreciate this. But, you know, this is unconstitutional. If they have, you know, they have a court system to deal with this. It would be like saying, listen, you know, having people who are flashers is a really big problem. So we'd like everyone to take a picture of their junk and put it in a database so that just in case somebody were to flash you, we would be able to find that information. That is the same analogy here. We're looking for cartels, so we want everyone to put their information in a database. So if there is a problem, we can look through that information. We all know the first example is absurd. It is patently just as absurd for us to have this information. They have the ability to get it through the court system if they have reason to believe that there is an issue. And otherwise, you know, what are we doing here?
Yeah. So everyone needs to be calling, emailing, social media, yelling at their lawmakers. And also maybe everybody like raising the volume so that the incoming new administration can immediately do something about this. Because otherwise, as you said, this is weeks away. I mean, the fit will hit the shan, so to speak.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, and people, you know, if you're a small business owner, you just don't know what that enforcement's going to look like. You know, if you start doing almost $600 a day in fines, you know, over the course of the year, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars that you're going to end up owing. And while we think the administration is going to do the right thing, it's still big, it's still opaque. When do they get around to it? It's just not the kind of burden we should be putting on small business. We're talking about unleashing growth with this administration. The very first thing you can do is just absolutely get rid of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad that you're raising the alarm on this, because I wouldn't have known about this if it wasn't for you. If it wasn't for you out there talking about it, I would not. Nobody would know about this.
How insane is that? I mean, every single day when I talk about this, we have business owners who are like, I don't know anything about this. So how is it that they expect that we're going to get compliance when they've done such a poor job in communicating it for the first place? Which, again, I'm glad that they have, because it's unconstitutional and nobody should be subjected to going through this farce of a rule. But until we get that dealt with in the courts, we need some sort of a reprieve here.
There we go. Absolutely. Our good friend Carol Roth, we are grateful to what you do. Get her book, You Will Own Nothing, Your War with a New Financial World Order and How to Fight Back. That's literally what we're talking about. It's all part of it. Carol Roth, always appreciate it. Go get our newsletter as well. It's free to sign up, carolroth.com/news. Thank you, Carol. Good to see you.
Thanks, my friend.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So you know that we've got a story about the Villages. A husband was arrested after he called her his Bible thumper wife, poured out his rum. This guy, I tell you, this is probably the most normal thing you're going to hear about today. I'm kidding. So what ended up happening is Ronald Wayne Footit, F-O-O-T-I-T, Footit, of Lake Panaskoffee, is facing a battery charge. He was arrested after he was taken into custody. He looks like a thumb. He was mad that his wife poured his rum down the sink when she found him drinking at 2 a.m. And then after she poured out the rum, he was like, oh, yeah. And then he popped open a beer. Well, then a struggle ensued over keys, an iPad, and a phone. She did not want him to drive because he was drunk. And so he's 6 foot tall and weighs 300 pounds. He pushed his wife onto a bed. She called 911. When they arrived, they found that Footit had bloodshot eyes. He literally smelled like a bottle. And the paramedic claimed that the woman, he was a retired paramedic. And he goes, she attacked me because I called her a Bible thumper because she poured out his rum. So he was arrested on a charge of domestic battery. He was booked in a Sumter County Detention Center. He was initially booked without bond. So I don't know if he bonded out or not, but that's, you know. But yeah, he got mad. She was looking out for his well-being. She's being a good woman. Looking out for his well-being, and he wasn't having none of it. So that's, I mean, I don't know. But that's, it's poured out. I wonder how much, if it was like a lot of rum or not a lot of rum. I don't know. Let's see here. We have this other story in here that this is kind of an old story, though. But it seems like it's an old story. I don't know. It's about a Florida man named Sean Irby. Irby? Irby? It could be that. I don't know how to do this one, because we've had a story like this before, This was in department stores across Miami. This Florida man is facing criminal charges because he would approach juvenile women from behind and then use a medical syringe to squirt some mystery liquid on them and then record it on his cell phone. Yeah. And apparently he fled before employees could intervene. Other shoppers alerted the victim. Surveillance footage captured one incident, and it showed that there was a stain on the back of her shorts. And then at a Marshall's 2 months later, a similar incident was reported. And same thing. And it was the same guy. And so she identified him in a lineup, and investigators started putting all these different cases together. And they finally arrested him, charged him with multiple offenses, felony battery on a child, two misdemeanor battery counts, tampering with evidence. He's out on bond, but he's under house arrest, and he can't go into stores or be around any of the victims. And he said that the liquid was Cetaphil, and that he had deleted the videos from his phone. Yeah, I don't think so.
What the hell is Cetaphil?
That's like a lotion. Oh. It's like a lotion for sensitive skin, like if you have eczema and that. That's very particular, though, right? I don't know. I feel like some of the dads need to just beat him within an inch of his life out in the street. That's just me thinking out loud. Stick with us. Third hour next. So welcome back to the program, folks. We're at the top of our third hour this Wednesday. We're officially 1 week out from Turkey Eve, Thanksgiving Eve. Yeah. And it's good to be with you. Are they doing, I'm sure they're doing the Macy's Day Parade and all that still, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Does it seem, do you like, is it as big of a deal in your house?
I don't know. The only time I've ever seen it is to watch balloons go awry and deflate. Same. Or fly away. It's kind of like watching NASCAR.
I'm in the kitchen doing stuff, helping, or when I was younger, helping, or now cooking. And I'm only like keeping it on because I'm like waiting for somebody to get, it sounds horrible, waylaid by like a runaway balloon, right? Didn't that Sonic the Hedgehog? We got lucky 1 year and we're like, go!
There's a runaway minion or something.
Something like that. Yeah, it was great. It was great. All right, so welcome back. I'm just, you know, kind of taking some notes here. So in the House, got a few things. We've been talking about the cabinet picks. It's all going well, you know, all that good stuff. We're going to have Carol Ross segments up, her segment up, because that's incredibly important. That's so bad when government's so big. You're like, am I in trouble? I don't even know. Like, am I violating some rule? Don't even know anymore. It's like a terrifying concept. They just issued the House Speaker finally put out a statement saying that you can't go in the women's bathrooms, blah, blah, blah. Just do it. Just issue the damn statement and then move on to other stuff. Why are we wasting 4 days on this? And I'm not saying it's not a big thing, but do we have to take like 3 to 4, like a whole week to release a statement? If he would have come out, guns blazing, balls to the wall, like rhetorically speaking, nope, all the puns intended, then he should have done this hardcore in the beginning, but he didn't. And then now he's spending the next couple of days trying to like build up his rep as like being hardcore about this issue. We saw you. You didn't say nothing that first answer. We saw you. Don't think that we didn't. So I'm just, you know, wondering. And it didn't help. And it's fun to dunk on the libs, but I want to make sure that our own side is not nominating themselves to get dunked on. And here's what I'm talking about. So yesterday, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she was mad because the Gates report, they're trying to tell the House Ethics Committee to release this report. The Senate wants to read it. And apparently somebody got access to it and they've been leaking stuff. I don't know. And Marjorie Taylor Greene goes, for my Republican colleagues in the House and Senate, if we're going to release the ethics reports and rip apart our own that Trump has appointed, then put it all out there for the American people to see. All the ethics reports and claims, including the one I filed, all of your sexual harassment and assault claims that were secretly settled, paying off victims with taxpayer money, all of it. And she's like, you know, if we're going to dance, let's dance in the sunlight. I'll make sure we do. Okay, well, then do it. Come on, tough girl, release it. Don't threaten us with a good time. Put it all out there. Why in the hell would you not? This is our taxpayer dollar. Our dollars. This is our money. Then release it. All of it. This whole, like, don't you come after my sexual deviant or I'll go after yours. That doesn't work. That's a really bad strategy. Okay, let's not do it. Let's just release all of it. Why would we? There's zero reason why any of this should be kept private. Why should anybody be protected is like the big question. I mean, remember, there was an $18.2 million congressional slush fund for hashtag Me Too claims, or as we like to say it, the Pound Me Too, Kane. Well, that's what it was, that sign.
That was off-air conversation that we had.
The hashtag was originally the pound sign, Kane.
Off-air conversation.
What's the matter with you? Adam Andrzejewski was the one who did this with his OpenTheBooks.com, and they said that they had 291 cases of workplace disputes for Congress since 1997. They paid out $18.2 million, and that was just in March of 2021. So why is this an if and not a win? Like, why would you not, why would she not release all, like, why keep any of it private? So you're saying, well, I'll keep it private if you keep that private. So how are you any better? You're not, that is not the flex you think it is, girls. What are you doing? I liked it when she was, you know, all about the bathroom stuff. And when she put the Hunter Biden photos up there, this one was a miss. Just saying. So now I want all of this stuff, all of it. Throw it all out there. I want to know what kind of deviancy is happening in the halls of Congress. Don't you agree? Like, we should get to know this. Nobody's talking about it. None of the media. Gosh, everyone in the conservative media talks about the same dumb stuff. Somebody goes, whoop, whoop, and then they all go, whoop, 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 whoop. It's all the same thing. I can't handle it. It's like reading the same stupid story repurposed 5,000 ways across the whole slate of websites. It's just mine, 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 mine. It's all it is. Come on, people. Do better. I mean, nobody's now, everyone's like, ooh, maybe that wasn't good. No one's asking about it. You volunteered it. I want it now. I think that would be a good thing to do. Now, Trump apparently is trying to find some workarounds for Gates. I don't know. Is he, though? All I'm seeing is so-and-so said Trump called. So-and-so said Trump did this. That means nothing. He's got Truth Social. He can go out there and post it up on Truth Social. The fact that he's not doing it and that all of this stuff is, well, Trump said, so-and-so said Trump said. So-and-so said that they heard that Trump called. So-and-so said that Trump said that they called, or that so-and-so else said that Trump called. No. Why are we even entertaining that? If he's wanting it, then he puts it out on Truth Social. That's it. Then he puts it on Truth Social. That's all there is to it. So, you know, that's it. What is the number five? What is this one?
This is the press asking Trump if he's reconsidering Matt Gaetz, and he has one word.
Okay,
answer.
Go ahead.
Mr. President, are you reconsidering the nomination of Matt Gaetz?
No.
Well, there it is. But can I just be honest? You know, and this is why I've never ever said, oh, this is 4D chess. I've never said that. Kane, have I said that?
No.
Have I made fun of people who do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have.
I actually think this might be 4D chess. I'm not going to lie. So does that sound like Trump is vociferously pushing something?
No.
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 If Trump wants something, he posts about it nonstop.
You'll know about it.
You will know. He will post about it nonstop. He won't let it go. He'll find a way to work it into average, everyday conversations. He'll give it a nickname. And if you don't like it, you also get a nickname. So that's why I'm like, I'm not taking very seriously all of these stories where they're like, well, Trump said, and I read this story, I kid you not, where's this at? I thought I saved it, but I think they actually took it down. It was, where is this story at? It was a story where they were saying that, so-and-so said that Trump called and was pushing people to confirm Gates. I don't believe that. Because Trump would literally be beating all the senators over the head on Truth Social. He would be cutting videos. He's done stuff like that. He's gone out and has like very strongly defended or pushed for people. That hasn't happened here. And again, going back to Lorraine's letterhead theory, it wasn't on the letterhead, Kane.
That's true.
So the letterhead theory is that the picks that Trump knows are going to get through and that he's really like, you know, stamping are on letterhead. The ones he might be like a little or not confident that they're going to get through. No letterhead. They just get a Truth Social statement. Kind of interesting, right? I think so. So, I don't know. It's... I don't know. I know they're talking about the Federal Vacancies Act Reform Act. That's not going to pass judicial scrutiny, by the way. So I'm not even going to entertain that. That's something that's been thumped down before by the courts when Democrats have tried to do it. And this would be no different. But furthermore, that's all conjecture, because unless he literally draws a picture of it on True Social, it's not happening. You don't need all of these people to build all this stuff up for him. If he wants it to happen, then he will go out there and say it'll happen. Now, the reason I keep going, it's 4D chess, is because I think he believes that there is baggage there. He might think that it is, would not be, he wants to reward the perception of Gates' loyalty, but at the same time doesn't want to deal with the drama that comes with it. So this is a great move to do if you want to look like you're standing by somebody and you're not expending any kind of political capital to do so, but then the system is going to take care of what it takes care of. That's what I think the strategy is here. I'm not saying that that's what it is. I'm just saying that that's kind of what I'm thinking it might be. Because it's a little unusual in my perspective for Trump not to be hardcore going out there like, yeah, I'm going to bust your double snakes. You better confirm my guy. He's gone out there and done that with others, but not this one. So kind of keep that in mind when you hear all this. A lot of the people that are acting like a source told me and say this stuff on X, I guarantee you no one told them. It is just either they were told because they're getting paid by a group that is pushing something or advocating something, and that is literally happening, or they want to sound like they're in the know and they're not because they're doing it for clicks. That's literally no one's telling them anything. This is, I would say, except for the, I think, Epstein getting his feelings hurt by Musk and then leaking to the press about Musk, which is where I think that Musk bust up came from, was maybe him leaking to the press because Musk accused him of leaking it to the press. Everything else has been pretty tightly controlled in terms of what information is coming out and when. And so I don't know. I got some suspicions about all this. So it's going to go through whatever process it goes through. But I don't think we need to spend an inordinate amount of time battling over a questionable pick. And I think it's the shakiest of all his picks. For a number of reasons. I think it's the shakiest of all his picks. There's a lot of other stuff that we have to deal with, and we can't be focusing all the time on that because there's all this other stuff. And plus, there are tons of good candidates out there as well. So, I mean, you have that. And then with the Senate, you know, the appointment of the Senate, I know a lot of people were talking about with Rubio going to be Secretary of State, maybe we can appoint somebody in the Senate who'll show up to vote. And so we don't have people like Embry Kidd, a pederast apologist, to get on the 11th Circuit for a lifetime appointment covering three states. Maybe the Florida governor will put someone in that seat that is that'll show up to vote. But I want to tell you, too, there's a lot of gamesmanship going on about that Senate seat because there are still a lot of scores in the Republican world that they have not settled with each other. And so you have different factions in the Republican world, and they're trying to use this Senate seat as a measure of it. So some people who don't like DeSantis are trying to use this seat and trying to push him into nominating someone that they think would be more advantageous against him. And then there are some who are like apologists for the other side saying, well, then they need to put somebody else in the seat. I mean, it's just, oh my gosh, it's his discretion. Just like the cabinet picks are Trump's discretion, the Senate seat is DeSantis's discretion. People need to stop trying to score settle on the Republican side. I am super suspicious of the people who are still trying to do it because they don't have as their priority moving forward with the nation's agenda. They're doing this for themselves because they want to be gatekeepers. They're trying to protect their influence because they're like, well, we're here for 4 years. And then after that, what comes of us? And I think that they're trying to gatekeep and protect their influence. So I don't know. I see all this stuff that's happening and it's a little annoying because like when we just talked to Carol Roth last hour, so few people are talking about that. And imagine all of the business owners that are going to get caught up in that filing predicament and could be made into criminals because of some stupid regulation that the government hasn't even bothered to message about. Right?
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Victorian era diseases, vintage is like, it's like yesteryear is so in vogue right now. Their diseases are spreading some worrisome school outbreaks. Some of these U.S. states where you have these Victorian era diseases, Alabama and North Carolina, they've got outbreaks of like pertussis, a.k.a. whooping cough. It's violent coughing, fever, all this. I mean, it's really bad. Some of the vaccines I think are totally fine. I'm not going to lie. Some of them, like the COVID one, I'm like, nobody, it's brand new and it's experimental and it actually doesn't inoculate you. That's the point, is inoculation. And a lot of this stuff has been tried and true. If you disagree, fine, whatever. I don't care. But there's a reason why it's spreading and they're seeing an uptick. So just saying, let's just, and it's always good to be smart about stuff. Sure, ask questions. And not everyone is the same. Not every shot's the same, but you got to ask questions about stuff. But then some stuff is, you know, sometimes the what it treats is worse. The Thanksgiving set, this is wild. This is, I think, higher than what we've said before previously. 72% of Americans plan to travel by car for Thanksgiving this year. Interesting. That's an increase. 72%. That is a major increase. So in 2023, it was only 41%. And then they said that a lot of this, people are going back to the more traditional Thanksgiving travel, with 72% of respondents saying that they're going to drive to their destination, 41% 23, 38% 22, 32% 21, 35% 20. It's a figure that's closer to pre-pandemic levels. In 2019, it was 65% who drove for Thanksgiving. So we're getting back to a little more normal, I guess. Expert reveals the exact temperature that it's too cold to walk your dog in the snow. 19 degrees Fahrenheit is too cold to walk your dog in the snow. What are you telling me? Are you out there being mean to your dog in the snow?
No, I'm just saying. Sometimes dogs don't care.
Yeah. Forest responders rescued a young mountain lion. They do care. From up a tree that the family dog chased it. So they actually had, it was a little California mountain lion. It was a cub. Lion cub. Yeah, it's a cub. The family dog treed it, so they had to get rescuers out there to get it out. And, well, we got more in store. We don't have time for this one. We have a lot more still as we wrap up this third hour. Stick with us.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gosh, I remember when this video was on MTV. Back when MTV actually, kids, they actually played music videos. It's wild. All the Gen Z and Alphas are going, oh, what? What is MTV? Oh. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you at the bottom of this third hour. I read a piece and I'm trying to find it. I thought it was at Red State and it's not, but it was just basically, who is in charge? Okay, so I know we were all laughing about, you know, Joe Biden like wandering off and then not being in the photo shoot. But can I just like, there's another story that I had of this. Where's this at? It's a cargo ship that ended up. Where's this at? Let me pull this story up. Of course, this happened after we had Stephen Yates. It's Visegrad 24. They had this story. Chinese vessel Yipeng 3 was chased, intercepted, and boarded by a Danish vessel, Navy vessel. It's the Y311 Sloven. After the Chinese vessel destroyed two undersea telecom cables linking Finland, Germany, Sweden, and Lithuania. The vessel sailed from Russia and the captain is Russian. So what? That's kind of a big deal, right? That's a pretty big deal. I don't know if they went on the Yipeng 3 or not. I mean, so the reason that I was looking at this tweet is because of the other story that I saw where they said the Nords are getting ready for war. What? Yes, the Nordic people are getting ready for war. And I thought that was kind of, you know, kind of interesting. There was like this kit that went around in Sweden, Finland, and Norway. They have released like this paper, like these pamphlets that they were sending out, like apparently preparing for war. And it's not just like one article that's saying it. Like there are apparently several that CNN is among them and some of these others and the New York Times. Who else? I mean, there's quite the Economic Times, the BBC, all of it. And the BBC was the one who reported a couple of days ago that they were releasing this advice on how to prepare for war. And they said in Sweden, they were preparing for these. They were sending out these like little yellow pamphlets. I'm looking at for those who don't know, I have a 4.5-foot gaming monitor. You can kind of see some of it right here that I look down at. I don't have a prompter, so I just look at the camera, but I have all my stuff down here. And the title of it this pamphlet, it's yellow and it's called In Case of Crisis or War. They updated it. So it was 6 years. The last time they updated it was 6 years ago. They updated it again. And Stockholm has called, the government of Stockholm is saying that this is a worsening security situation. Finland had its own thing online called Preparing for Incidents and Crises. And then the Norwegians have also sent out a pamphlet. It's one that is for extreme weather, war, or other threats. Denmark's emergency management agency said they were emailing the Danish adults details on the water, food, medicine they would need to get through any kind of crisis. And then the Finns, they had a digital brochure explaining, you know, what to do in armed attack, all this stuff. Sweden joined NATO just this year. Finland, they applied after Moscow kind of kept going in 2022. And then Norway was a founding member of the Western Defensive Alliance. So the Finnish government, they put theirs digitally because they said it would cost too much money to print out paper. So they just did digitally. In Norway, they sent out 2.2 million, one for each household. And they were telling them what kind of food to have and all this stuff. Isn't this kind of a little odd? Seems a little odd, right? Norwegians were told to stock up on iodine. Finns were reminded of their defense obligation. And it's all apparently because of what is going on with Russia. Which brings me back to this tweet that I was sharing with you, where you have this Chinese vessel boarded by a Danish Navy vessel, and they're accused of destroying undersea telecom cables linking Finland, Germany, and Sweden with Lithuania. There was an episode of Grand Tour with Jeremy Clarkson, James May, the guys. They, where was this at? I don't know if they were in Finland, but they were in this Cold War military bunker that was literally built in like a cavern. And James May crashed into a wall during it. He was going like 70 miles per hour because they're like, just drive through it, Rolf. And he literally hit a wall and he had to get, it was the Scandiflick. A Scandiflick is what it was. So it was their Scandinavian special. And they went into the Grand Bunker. One of these big old bunkers that they had there. And it's up in the Arctic Circle. And it was a Cold War sub base. It was a submarine base, but it was like in the rocks. And so when they were driving in this tunnel, that was like apparently one of the entrances. But they drove through and were in a different country when they came out on the other side. It was wild. And they were marveling at the fact that there were still actual people there in the sub base. And it was still operational. And it was interesting because I'm like, well, it would be, right, if you put that much resource into it and you were still worried about any kind of conflict. You know, I guess, you know, defense is always a good offense, right? And it was a very interesting thing. They thought, wow, so you still have the submarine base there and it's from the Cold War, but you're still staffing it and you're still doing drills and you're still doing all of this. Well, now it makes sense. Just thought that was interesting. So we have all of this happening with Russia, and then now Ukraine's using U.S. weapons to strike deeper into Russian territory, and then now apparently the U.S. or somebody in the administration approved the use of landmines for Ukraine for the first time, and then we have this tweet that I was sharing with you about this Chinese vessel and then this Danish Navy vessel. Where the hell is the president and vice president? Where are they? Did I read a story that Kamala Harris was in Hawaii?
Yep.
Really? Mm-hmm. Really? I mean, she's still the VP. She's still... So her and her husband are in Hawaii. Okay. Yeah. There you go. And apparently her office would not answer questions about when she will return. The Honolulu Star Advisor reported yesterday that they're going to be there for about a week. The FAA has temporary flight restrictions for a couple of different areas. She hasn't been anywhere. They haven't seen her. She has nothing on her official schedule. They're going into this lame duck period. I don't know. That's kind of, interesting. So she's in Hawaii. She wasn't. That's why she wasn't there for Republicans to worry about her casting a tie-breaking vote. That's why they should have really all shown up. Yeah. Now you see why she wasn't there to cast a tie-breaking vote when they voted when the Senate Republicans in the Senate failed to confirm Embry Kidd, the pederast apologist who lied to the Senate about his super lenient sentences to child predators. That's why there's a lot of people mad, including at the vice president-elect and the secretary of state. I'm just like, why did you guys miss this? Because Harris wasn't there to cast any kind of tie-breaking vote. And the speculation, Manchin already voted against him, and the speculation was that Fetterman would have also. So, you got Biden walking into the rainforest, and it looks like all hell is going to be breaking loose with all of this. That's why, I mean, you need the new admin to get in there quick. So it just I don't know that who's I don't know who's in charge. After you watch the video where he missed the group photo and we laughed at it and all that stuff, but that's a serious thing because he might be there, but he's not there consistently. So I don't know who decided to make the call about Ukraine. Biden didn't, and Harris is MIA. She's in Hawaii. Who made the call for them to and approved the use of long-range missiles? Who said, okay, we're going to allow the mine usage? Who did that? Is it Blinken? Did Anthony Blinken do it? This kind of goes to show you with Democrats, it didn't matter to them who was in the office. Because when Democrats look at the office of the executive, they look at it as a cog in the machine. All they're doing is they're pulling levers. That's it. There will always be the people there to pull the levers. They just need kind of a figurehead. It doesn't matter. That's how they view this, so that it can continually run, no matter if they sub somebody out or not. That's not how we view government, and that's not how the founders view it, but that's definitely how they view it. And as it with Ukraine, I mean, nobody likes Russian aggression. But I am so damn done with Zelensky and so tired of this issue with Ukraine. And we've literally given him money to pay for their government pensions. That's not a lie. That's what their minister, one of their government officials, had said publicly in an interview, that if the U.S. did not meet our financial, and what they said was financial obligations, and I wanted to scream, our financial obligations to them, then they weren't going to be able to pay for their pensions. Newsflash, you're in the middle of a major war. Maybe that should be the last on your list of priorities. And they haven't won it. The only thing that they've been able to do in Ukraine is not be utterly defeated. They have not taken any ground, and they have not taken any major skirmish. Am I wrong? I watch this every single day. I follow all the accounts. I watch all the play-by-plays, all of it. I mean, it's like this is a very, it's a war of attrition is what this is. But I don't know. This is, nobody deserves another dime. No more. This is Europe's problem. We talked about this yesterday with Stephen Yates. It's Europe's issue. And I don't know why we are spending more money on them than we are on our own border, on our own security, on our own sovereignty. There's no reason for it. So I don't know. This stuff has got to change. But I'm just saying, watch all this stuff over there. It's very interesting. Things are bubbling. It's like when you got your electric tea kettle going. So I love drinking. There's a cinnamon tea, and I really like super spicy cinnamon tea. And I love right when that electric kettle starts, right when it makes a lot of noise and then it gets quiet because it's about to really start rumbling, and then pour all that vaporized water up into the ceiling. And I feel like we're in that process. We got a lot of, it's still loud. I feel like we're in that process though, but they don't deserve any more money over there. We have more on the way. We got Today in Stupidity coming up.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
So the U.S. paused our operations at the embassy in Ukraine, warning of a significant air attack. It's being described as like a temporary close, but I don't know. We'll see. It's just some real... I do like that Trump picked Matt Whitaker as the ambassador to NATO. I like that because he's a no-nonsense kind of dude. He's acting attorney general. Former acting attorney general Matt Whitaker is the NATO ambassador. So that was who he picked for that. I think that's a great... Because doesn't he kind of look like a no-nonsense guy?
He does.
We were just talking about this. Like, I want my ambassador to like NATO and, you know, China, if we got one, or anywhere else. Yeah. I want them to be like the meanest dudes. Yeah. I want them to look mean and, yes, have all of the other requirements, but they need a little something extra. You need to look like a jerk. You need to look like someone who is not going to get along with anybody right when you walk in the room. I want that to be the first thing that enters the room. Before you speak, I want that to be the thing that permeates the room. I want people to be off put.
That's right.
That's, you know, because we're in a weird period right now. I like peace through strength. That is the way to go about it. And isn't he a tall guy, too? He's a pretty big dude, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that I keep going back to, so my grandpa was in World War II and he was on USS Alabama. And he was invited to go on the USS Missouri when they signed, you know, that when they had Hirohito and they signed the end of aggression. And he always thought that he was invited to go up on Missouri because he was from Missouri. Later it came out, the reason maybe is because he was like 6'4", which can you imagine that man on a 6'3", 6'4", dude on a ship? He was a big dude. And he got to stand there. He and other guys got to stand there in line as they were walking up, as the Japanese were walking up onto the ship. And the word was that they had the biggest, tallest sailors as an additional psyop for the Japanese, who were a lot more shorter in stature. So when they arrived, they had to walk past all these super tall sailors. And he was really tall and super muscular. And that, they said that was, that's what apparently the speculation is. That's the reasoning, because it doesn't make sense. If he's on the Alabama, why would he then? I don't think that someone in the Navy is going, okay, this sailor's from Missouri. Let's put him on. I think it was, I kind of tend to think that that's true. I've read that. There's not an official reason, but, and he said he wasn't the only one. He goes, there were a lot of, and he did note at the time, there were a lot of other tall seamen that were up on the deck. Is what he'd said. I thought that was very interesting. So it seems like that's, you know, that's, there's probably some truth to that. But the reason I say that is because it was done for a reason. And I love things like that. I love needling mentally your opponent. I love that. Because that means if you're successful at that, then you have to do less work. You can take a beat. Maybe use that time to put more effort into a particular research or a particular plan of attack or something else. It gives you a little bit more time, a little bit more buffer. I love that, as it's good offense is defense. Peace through strength. Sending in a big, mean-looking ambassador. I like that. That's the way to do it. All right. Kane. Today in stupidity, Kane.
All right. Today it's Jennifer Rubin. All right. Good night, everybody.
Bye, everybody. You don't even need
it. I don't even need
now.
To do anything, say anything, play anything, but we're going to do it. It's Cut 13-1, and Jennifer Rubin says Republicans are the ones that want to kill kids. Listen.
You can't talk broad themes. You have to boil it down to nuts and bolts, and you have to be
pithy. Like a character.
She's
nuts. What do I mean by pithy?
Oh,
how about this? Republicans want to kill your kids. It's actually true.
Oh, is it?
If you're going to oppose vaccinations, if you're going to stop
crying out loud.
Breakthrough.
All right, that's enough.
Hmm.
Literally, yeah. Her breathing is enough for today in stupidity.
Yeah, and that does it for us today. Make sure you sign up over at Substack. Find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. I'll be back with you tomorrow.